The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They were the heroes from the future. Teenagers protecting the universe from those that would sow the seeds of chaos. Each had unique powers and abilities. And though they often had their differences, they came together to save the day as the Legion of Superheroes. Now, you can be a part of their adventures and learn the history of the future in the Legion Clubhouse.
This week on the Legion Clubhouse, hey, the Legion of Supervillains are back. Remember those losers?
Legion of Superheroes Volume 3, Number 1. Hero Villain, They're a Villain. Published August 1984. Written by Keith Giffen and Paul Levitz with art by Keith Giffen. Synopsis: The Legion of Supervillains reforms, and this time, they're out for blood.
Matthew, it is not lost on me that today, Tuesday, April 4th, a day that is a lot of people around the world are looking to their Twitter feeds and news feeds for all the big stuff. It is not lost on me that today we are also talking about the Legion of Supervillains.
Yes, and we are talking about the Legion in that most terrifying, that most unusual and unbelievable thing, the very first actual real Legion of Superheroes number one.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had number ones before, but they weren't actually number one.
Yeah, it was Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, Superboy featuring the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah. Legion Volume 1 was a 4-issue reprint series. We didn't even touch on it because we had already read everything.
Yeah, nobody wants reprints.
But this is the first Legion number one, and it's 1984, you guys.
Good for them. Good for them. And so what do we see on the first page? Giffen ripping off the Mayan calendar. Very good, Keith Giffen. Yay.
I will say this. I love this run of Legion, but I have never, ever liked this cover. There's just something unattractive about the array of Legionnaires on the cover of Legion of Superheroes Volume 3, Number
1.
Like, and I'm just like,
I see you decided not to put any of the founding members on this cover. Yeah, that's really nice. Well, that's a great way to kick off this
era. None of the founders
are
currently active, are they? Well, I guess Cosmic Boy kind of is.
And, I mean, as we will see, the Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl also are active.
They're not active. They're on leave. They're all off doing a thing in space.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
A space thing.
Some cool, creepy artwork on a planet that we may or may not know about, but it certainly looks medieval. No idea what that could mean.
Where are they going to find a castle in this? Oh.
I mean, who knows?
And who in the Legion has the time and the skill to hand carve a Mayan stone calendar?
Well, in the Legion of Superheroes, nobody. But if you're talking about the Legion of Supervillains, we haven't seen these guys for quite some time. So I imagine that Lightning King, or whatever he's calling himself these days,
which has always been his name,
is going to have plenty of time to do this stuff.
Could be. I don't know. And, you know, as you mentioned, the Legion of Supervillains has always been a collection of losers and schmucks and schmendricks. The last Legion we saw was in like 1968, Legion of Supervillains. And that was the one that had, there was one after that with Sun Emperor and Chameleon Chief and just a bunch of
Chameleon
schmucks.
Chief is back. Don't worry. By the end of this issue, Chameleon Chief will be back. Ron Carr Chameleon and the Chief. Rest will be back.
Ron Carr has never been a member of the Legion of Supervillains before.
I know, that's why he's part of the and the rest.
Are here on... Oh, sorry. Go on.
No, I was just saying, we get to see Dream Girl and Star Boy off on Vegas Planet, which is fine.
Yes.
But in the middle of their gamblings, an Imskian revolutionary shows up to rob the, here's the thing. don't ever rob from the casino because the mob is just going to take you down. Or in this
case, Terry Benedict will find you.
In this case, it's Dream Girl and Starboy.
Who do use their powers in pretty interesting ways. Starboy, rather than try and keep a robot from, you know, walking around, uses his mass-inducing powers to make its head fall through its butt. And Dream Girl uses her precognition to dodge where it's going to hit and then rip off its battery. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Shug, sweat will do the nastiest things to my gown, Shug. I better figure out a different way to take this robot menace down. Or she probably would say, mechanical menace down, Shug. Yeah, and meanwhile, poor Starboy is just like, I just want to make out with you.
Yeah, he's really focused on making out with her. It's creepy. He's more focused than the actual newlyweds in this issue, who Colossal Boy and Yera are finally moving out of Legion headquarters to get themselves an apartment. Even there, not as focused on each other as Starboy is like, hi, Dream Girl.
But yeah. I think, considering that this is New York, I think they're probably still concerned whether they are going to be able to get an apartment because of their mixed race nature. Interesting. Mm. Interesting that I should bring up apartments and keeping people locked out today, April 4th of all days. Very weird. Mm. Very, very weird.
How odd.
Yeah. Why? I wonder, why is Shrinking Violet stalking Starboy and Dream Girl on their vacation?
I don't know that she's stalking them. She says something to the effect of they called her, which makes me wonder if this whole trip to Ventura hasn't actually been an op to flush out Microlad. But yeah, when Microlad tries to run away, Shrinking Violet meets him in the teeny tiny sewers. And he goes, yeah, ha, ha, this is going to be fun. And then she literally kicks him from stem to stern and beats his spleen out of his nose.
Yeah, she beats him up real good. And so,
a better deserved beating, I cannot recall in the annals of comic
book. Mm-hmm. But it's really amazing that she was able to take him out, considering that he was infected with Eclipso powers. Yep. But he's whisked away by some unknown force. We don't know what. I'm going to bet it's Eclipso.
It's not Eclipso.
I bet it is. Also, a Computo. It's never Eclipso. Computo shows up in this issue, which is also kind of creepy.
Well, Computo is now officially the major domo and the major Barrett.
I'm not sure I would. I'm not sure I would put my entire faith into Computo, the killer robot, now suddenly benign. Anyway,
none of the Legionnaires, save for Brainiac 5, do. But Brainiac seems to believe that everything is fine.
Yeah. Bleep. Meanwhile, on Topless Planet, we get to find out what Light Lass has been up to.
Light Lass has gone home to her home planet of Winneth, which, since we saw it last, which God only knows when that was, is now a strange world of farms and naked people.
Well, they're not completely naked. They're just all topless.
Naked.
Everybody's wearing. People. Everyone's wearing bottoms in this, but it is just very interesting to see that Winneth or Winamp, you know, Free the Llama, ladies and gentlemen, is just this
that
really
joke is
weird.
17 years old.
I know, right? But those who got it and are laughing. It's really weird to see this as a commune. Number one, mm-hmm. So that's really weird. Number two. I don't think Light Lass has gone into hiding, which is really weird because everyone's like, where is Light Lass? Where can people find Light Lass? How about you go to her home planet and check there? It's like if someone were to say, Matthew didn't call into work today, should we call an APB? We'd probably just go, how about somebody just go over to his house and see if he's there? No. We have to search the entire state to search for Matthew. No, I'm pretty sure he's at home.
Here's the thing, though. She doesn't live there and hasn't lived there in years. So it would be like Matthew called in sick. Well, let's go back to the small town of Lincoln and check all the places he used to hang out. I think it's and I have to admit, it is definitely a moment of, well, if she's not on Earth, she's not a metropolis. I might check her home planet. But at the very least, I feel like it's less obvious than it might have been, especially since Winneth is apparently, you know, off in the corner of nowhere. It's the Idaho of the United Planets, apparently.
people from Idaho, we apologize. Anyway, why is Timberwolf stalking her?
That's a good question. He's not stalking her either. He has done worse. He's literally hired a private investigator to track her down, which is, that's like a step up from stalking. That's like you've got documentation and money.
Not quite.
No, I mean, right. it's worse than stalking.
Yeah, so it'd be a step down from stalking. Not a
well,
step
I think
up.
Of it as a step up. You're stepping up, and eventually you're going to just fall to your death. But yeah, there's a lot of... I had forgotten how much stuff actually happens in this first issue. Because I had completely forgotten the whole thing with the private detective. He'll be important later for about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's all just tons of stuff going on. He's looking for her. He didn't go to her home planet either. And I don't know, all of the inmates of Takran Galtos think to themselves, hey, Ultra Boy, who is as strong as Superboy, is down on the ground. Let's all jump him at once.
That's a bad plan. Because there's a revolt that's going on. That's led by another person from Daxum.
Olvir, the kid cousin, who nearly killed.
Cousin Oliver.
Yes.
Is gone all religious nut and is trying to kill people, and Mon-El isn't going to take it. And Mon-El is willing, it looks like, and I would bet that he is willing to kill a child in the pages of this comic.
You know, Mon-El literally walks up to the boy and says, I'm glad you recognize me. I'd hate to break every bone in your body without you knowing it was me. I'm like, dude.
Yeah, no, he's ready to kill.
Very intense.
Yeah. And then we get to see move-in day, and we discover that President Mom has decided to step down.
So she's now former President Mom.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a big fight and all this stuff, and everybody escapes in a big pink cloud. I wonder if we've seen big pink giant clouds before.
It's weird. That teleportation looks a lot like the cloud that... Oh.
And there's lightning coming out of it, so that's also weird. Yeah.
It's almost like two people working together.
Weird, like, don't you think?
Groups of villains in like a legion or something.
Yeah, especially when you say, step through this. You know, you hear this voice, step through this and become a member of the new Legion of Supervillains.
Legion of Superheroes, Volume 3, Number 2. Where a Villain. Published September 1984. Written by Keith Giffen and Paul Levitz, with art by Keith Giffen. Synopsis: Orondo falls. Will Earth be next?
Bum, 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 bum. From across the galaxy they come. Esperlass, Magnolad, Lazon, Lazoff, Sun Emperor, Tatiana, Terrace, bump, bump. Bump, 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 bump. Yeah.
I am glad to see Terrace, because Terrace is, I think, maybe the only or one of the only two or three new guys in this. But the new Legion of Supervillains, because they have Esperlass, means they have most of the Legion of Super Rejects. You remember who attacked the Legion Hunter. Because they couldn't get in.
Yeah.
Orion the Hunter. It has the Block's friends from Dryad. The Legion of Super Assassins.
Yeah, they're not his friends.
So, well, they used to be his friends. He used to be one of them. They were all like, hey, Block, can we borrow your dad's Camaro?
Yeah, so here's the official lineup that we see in issue 2. We get Esperlass, Magnetolad, Lazon, Lazoff, Sun Emperor, Tatiana, Terrace, Radiation Boy, Spider-Girl, Cosmic King, Cousin Oliver, New Tracks, Silver Slasher, Mistmaster, Terrace, Orion the Hunter, and stealing the art is Keith Giffen once again, just, you know, plagiarizing classic art.
Yeah, this we get the amazing shot of the Legion of Supervillains as literally the Last Supper, to go with that thing from the Great Darkness, where it was like, hey, hey, look, the Sistine Chapel, hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof, it's rough.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, there's a big fight, and Wildfire, his containment suit gets busted open, because obviously all you need to do is just rip open his suit and he goes kablooey kablammy. Where have we seen Tatiana before?
Titania.
Oh, yeah, that's
Titania
right.
Titania is one of the Legion of Super Assassins.
Ah,
Titania, Lazon, Nutrax, the Silver Slasher, and I think one other idiot.
Do you think that the Legion of Supervillains, serious question, do you think the Legion of Supervillains is doing themselves a disservice by trying not, by actively not trying to recruit members of the Fatal Five?
That's an interesting question. I feel like, well, at this point, like half of them are dead. But yeah, I feel like the Legion of Superheroes.
Half of them that are still alive, including the half of Manos Hands of Fate. Or not Manos, but Tharok Johnson, who is half robot.
Tharok is sort of kind of dead. He's mostly dead.
I know, not the robot half.
Right. I don't know. It is interesting that they don't bring in the Fatal Five. And I don't know if there's ever been really an analysis of it, because I don't know if it's the next time we see the Legion of Supervillains, but the next time we see this Legion of Supervillains, the Fatal Five and Mordru have joined their number.
Yeah, so see, that makes a lot more sense, right? To where you would have, I mean, if you wanted to be unstoppable, you would have these group of losers. And really, honestly, the only one that is worth anything in this group is Lightning Lord. I think the rest are maybe Radiation Boy, maybe a Cousin Oliver, but really the rest of them are really not that great. Even Cosmic King, not that great.
Ubers. Cosmic King is an interesting, obnoxious one. Lightning Lord is definitely dangerous. I would argue that Tyr, as you recall, who almost killed Superboy with his gun hand, was pretty tough. But yeah, I don't necessarily know that any of these guys are overwhelmingly good. But I think that's also what makes this Legion the first Legion that actually does anything.
Maybe.
Because it's literally taking the Legion of Superheroes formula and applying it to a real Legion of Supervillains.
If I were going to pull anybody from this group, it would be Lightning Lord, maybe Cosmic King, maybe Cousin Oliver, although it looks like Dreamgirl or Esper Lass at first looks like she breaks his neck, but she just knocks him out. But then I would go for like the Emerald Eye of Ekron. I would get her in there. And I would probably get Manos and Thundar the Barbarian. And then I would bring in Mordru. Those eight people right there would decimate the Legion of Superheroes.
Well, they've got Nemesis Kid. I will say this. Nemesis Kid is like woobada boobada, which
he's not in this group yet, or at least he's not listed in the Last Supper picture.
He's not in that picture, but he is in the story. Because at one point, when they capture Karate Kid and Projectra, he's like, I shall now call a Legion emergency as I did as one of their members. That's actually Nemesis Kid. I think he's entirely shadowed at that point.
Oh, yeah. He's a mist in this. No, that's Mistmaster that does that.
That's Mistmaster, but he's working with Nemesis Kid.
Oh, because the way that this plays out, it's like Mistmaster and Orion the Hunter are the only two that we see. And then we see the finger come in and says, yes, as I once did as a Legionnaire. So we don't really know who that is yet.
Yeah. And we're at this point, I remember reading this and going, wait, what, who?
Yeah, I would think that if I were going to do this a little differently to indicate that there are three people here, I would have staged this very, very differently to make it clear that there is a third person here, because the way it's presented, the mist.
I think there's actually four, because Magno Lad is there too.
Oh yeah,
Magno Lad, Orion. Yeah, it's intentionally.
It is very confusing to know who is doing what in this, and I would have staged this a little bit differently to make it clear that there are four Legionnaires here. Because in my initial read of this, I was like, oh, okay, so there's two Legionnaires. There's Orion the Hunter, and there is Mistmaster. Even though he said Magno Lad brought them down, he's not in this. He's technically not in this scene, and so it makes
his foot is in the scene. That's his foot. Yes, Mistmaster, we know your gases have made them. That's Magno Lad's foot. He's the only one who wears Corsair boots.
Yeah, but you got to be paying a lot of attention to do that, because they haven't established
intentionally obscuring
Yeah.
Who is in the Legion of Supervillains at this point?
Well, they just did the big splash page of all 13 of them leaning in and saying, oh, no, you are the betrayer. No, look at how Esper Lass and Lightning Lord form a cup. They must be secretly in love with one another. And thus the blood of the
all of them. That's not even all of the ones in this issue. They are intentionally hiding the membership. And I will say I don't necessarily say that it's a good plan.
But. No, I think that's to the detriment of the story, honestly. Because, again, if you've got, again, if there's four people supposed to be at the end of this, and there may be more, if there's supposed to be four people at the end of this, then it is very confusing. Because if you're like, oh, no, that's his Corsair boot. Remember when you saw the Corsair boot? Like 700 issues ago when that was first done in panel 27, nobody's really going to remember that until hindsight, especially. And the reason why I bring this part up, especially since there are so many costume changes or clothing changes in these two episodes, right? We see Colossal Boy and what's Vera's?
Yira.
Yeah. What is her? Does she have a code name? Is she Chameleon Girl or anything like that?
Not yet. She's okay. Just Yara at this point.
So we see her in a different costume. We see Light Lass topless. We get to see, Saturn Girl looking super pregnant. And you look at her and you're like, holy cow, is she having twins or something? What? Wait, huh? Dark Side? What? I have no idea what people are talking about here, but I would certainly recruit my nephew into this Legion at some point. And also the fact that in addition to two additional costumes, Princess Projectra and Karate Kid also have new costumes in this. So trying to rely on saying, oh, this shadow of a pirate boot is an indicator of who this is. I think that's super. I think that would be very hard. And so I guess bottom line is I would totally rework those panels. So it's a little bit more clear that there are four people there. You don't have to call them out by name, but I would totally rework it to say, hey, here are all the people that are here.
They do, in fact, call them out by name, but I think that it is intentionally staged to be confusing.
I would say it's poor staging.
It's staged intentionally to be confusing to try and keep us as readers as off balance as the Legion is, theoretically, because we don't know who's there. That moment where Orion the Hunter pops up and he's like, yeah, ha, ha. That's the moment where we find out that Orion the Hunter is in the team. That's the point where they've revealed it. So that the actual makeup of this Legion of Supervillains is like 26, 27 guys, just like the main Legion.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to see them playing with that. Again, I agree with you. I don't think it's successful, but I think it's intentional.
And then because Saturn Girl gets in a fight and uses her telepathic powers to take down some bad guys, she goes into labor. And so we know that the baby is on the way.
Which is weird because the last issue that we covered.
Oh, yeah, she was barely pregnant. Right?
No, she was, they had the baby. They're like, hey, here's our baby in that issue. But that moment had to take place in the future because this story, everything that happens on Ventura happens after the last issue of Tales of the Legion that we covered. It's really confusing. And I'm just like, I'm tired.
But so these are coming out at the same time. So it's conceivable that did this issue hit the stands at the same time or before the previous issue did?
So the previous issues that we covered, Legion of Superheroes, Tales of Legion of Superheroes, number 314 and 315.
Right.
315 was on the stands at the same time as Legion Volume 3, number 1.
Okay.
316, which we will be covering, an episode or two.
Two episodes from now.
Will, in fact, be taking place roughly part of it simultaneously with Legion Volume 3, number 2 and 3. But the events of the first five issues of Legion of Superheroes take place over basically an afternoon. So it's one of those weird moments where you can't actually read everything in order unless you take the books apart and read 10 pages here, 6 pages there, 6 pages here. So,
which, you know, some people would probably do that, especially in this day of scanning where you could literally just rip out a page digitally and reorganize it in a way that would make a lot more sense.
I'm pretty obsessive about my comic book back issues, and I don't think I would ever go to that length.
No, not a physical copy. I said digital copy.
No, I don't think I'd ever go to that length. I don't think that the stories would read any better. It would be a purely intellectual exercise.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure somebody has done it. Listener, if you're out there and you have done this, let us know. Let us know if you've taken apart your digital copy and reassembled it into the correct reading order, kind of like the version of the machete cut of the first Star Wars movies.
If you have done that, seek help.
Nah, people have their hobbies. Maybe this is what they want to do for fun. I have no problem with people doing that. I mean, I certainly have better things to do, but maybe if somebody else did, I mean, I'm all for it. I would definitely read it if somebody did something like that. I just don't have the time to put it together myself.
It would drive them insane. It would.
I don't think it would drive them insane. I mean, more insane than some little kid screaming, "I am Darkseid. Come to me, Darkseid. It's through your power that your dark powers come to me and I can take over the world." And then
Olvir is like creepy. Olvir is like Damien Thorne.
Yes, I was going to say Damien from, is that his last name? Yeah. The Damien from,
The Omen.
The witch. No, I'm talking about Damien the witch boy. Or Clarion the witch boy. Yeah, Clarion the witch boy. That's who I was thinking of. That's who he reminds me of.
And Clarion's last name is Tindy.
Witch boy. Oh, anyway.
Clarion.
So two issues into this. I think there's a lot of confusing bits. Maybe that's intentional. Maybe it's not. I would tend to lean to the art as maybe being a little rushed to get through this, to especially if you are doing, because who's doing the other book right now?
The other book, let's see, when we last
saw, Terry Schumacher?
Terry Schumacher on the front, and then George Tuska doing backups.
Okay.
And that is actually, that story is, or those issues are split in two so that they could get them out.
Okay. Because I don't know. There's something about this that feels very rushed. And or maybe it's rushed because there are a lot of fine fiddly bits in here. Like when we are on Winanth. Free the Llama. The shadows from the leaves. Giffen goes through painstaking detail to draw every little shadow of a leaf on Light Lass's face and the Eclipso guy who attacks her. And it's like, I'm not sure you really needed to go through this, especially considering that this was not printed. Oh, no. Which one was printed on the better paper? Is this the one that's printed on the better paper?
This is the one that was printed. Yeah, this was printed on the good paper in the deluxe format.
So maybe on the better printed paper, I could see adding all the little fiddly bits and stuff to add it in. But I would imagine on the regular, almost newsprint copy stuff, that a lot of that stuff would be lost.
It's definitely a different experience. I read this story in the reprint copy, so on newsprint when it came out in Tales of the Legion, because I didn't have access to the direct market on a regular basis in 84. It does look much better on the Baxter paper. It does look better, you know, with the deeper blacks and the more realistic coloring, but it doesn't fall entirely apart in the reprint. It doesn't, you know, come to pieces. So
yeah.
I feel like this is kind of the point where Giffen really settles on what his experimental style is going to file down to. And I will say this, after complaining, we are really starting to see Keith in this and not so much Jose Munoz. But it's also not entirely,
that name would come up again.
It's not entirely attractive art.
No.
There are some really, really gratuitously horrific noses that come up. Oh,
just the cover of the second issue, I think, is horrible, with everybody's stretchy heads.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they all thought they got into Gin Gold or something.
If you look at the cover of Volume 3, Number 1, part of my big problem with it is there's a Timberwolf in the foreground.
Mm-hmm.
And Timberwolf is in his full feral mode. So he has Wolverine hair, but he has this weird shadow that makes it look like his nose has been eaten away by acid or something. And it's just,
it could
I'm not a fan. And we're looking right up Colossal Boy's nose. I don't need to see up.
I don't know. I thought for these two issues, I thought that this was pretty good. A bit confusing from the art side. Story I thought was fairly straightforward. I think if this is a prestige format that you're trying to push, you definitely want a big story going on here. And the birth of the Lightning Lad twins and the return of somebody who we thought we got rid of, I think is kind of a big thing to do in this series. So we've got, what, three more books? No, four more books in this, right?
Chapters of the Legion of Superheroes war with the villains, and then probably another 6 or 10 issues of fallout, because this one has ramifications short-term and long-term for both books.
Yeah. Yeah, including some time travel shenanigans, but we'll have to get that another time. Matthew, what did we learn in this installment of the Legion Clubhouse?
We learned that if you're an ancient astronaut named Bob Cobb, you can threaten to strangle a child and still be a hero.
I think we also learned that Darkseid bad always, even if it's inside of a little child.
And most importantly, we learned that if DC has a good thing going with its Legion, they can then add a second book, make it cost more, and make $1 million, thereby leading to the speculator boom and the crash of the entire comic
book
industry.
That's not what happened here, but you're close. Thank you, everybody, for checking us out this week. Questions, comments, whatevers, head over to our page, majorspoilers.com, and you could leave comments there or hit us up on Twitter. We are all over the place. So until next time, remember, I'm sitting here waiting for you, man.
And I'm Radiation Rudolph.
The Legion Clubhouse is a production of Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC, and is produced by Steven Schleicher. Your hosts were Matthew Peterson and Steven Schleicher. You can follow Matthew at Mighty King Cobra and Steven at Major Spoilers. You can follow this podcast on Twitter at Legion Clubhouse. If you have questions or comments, send them to podcast@majorspoilers.com. I'm Jason Inman. Until next time, eat it, Grandpa.
This podcast is copyright 2023 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.